Inauguration Day is now 2 days away, and officials around the country are pulling out all the security stops. Just the same, worries kept Washington very much on edge today. Nick Schifrin begins our coverage.
For a moment, the drill became reality. This morning, soldiers and law enforcement practicing inauguration security suddenly sheltered for fear of attack. It turned out the threat was this nearby fire, which was quickly extinguished. But it shows the tension in Washington, D.C. ahead of Wednesday's inauguration. Thousands of National Guard soldiers continue to arrive. More than 25,000 will secure the city and surround the Capitol with rifles and bulletproof vests behind 7-foot-high fences. Downtown D.C. is on lockdown, a normally festive inauguration week replaced with barricades and security checks. The Washington Monument closed behind rings of security.
We're here to protect the citizens of the United States just as much as we are the seat of our government. So no one should fear us unless they have ill will in their heart.
Every guardsman takes an oath, and it's to defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic. And as we've seen, sometimes the enemies are a little closer to home.
For the military, the fear is very close to home. The Associated Press found more than 20 Capitol Hill insurrectionists were current or former members of the U.S. military or of law enforcement. The FBI and National Guard are now vetting the guardsmen securing D.C. for ties to extremists. And the Guard is providing new training for how to spot anything, quote, not appropriate. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy spoke to the AP.
January 6th, there were representatives from all of the services who were at the rally when it started on the Ellipse and then migrated towards the Capitol. So the question is that all of them? Are there others? We're continually going through the process and taking second, third looks at every one of the individuals assigned to this operation.
But a senior defense official tells PBS NewsHour the military remains concerned because Guard leaders don't know their soldiers well. And while the FBI will check guardsmen's names in law enforcement databases, neither the FBI nor the military have the time to check all soldiers' social media. Outside of D.C. and state capitals, the threat remains high. National Guardsmen secured Pennsylvania's seat of government and guarded the base, the state capital in Atlanta. That deterred most of yesterday's planned armed protests, except in Salt Lake City, where a small group did bring their guns to town. And another small armed group showed up in Lansing, Michigan, despite a weekend show of force.
You hope for the best, you prepare for the worst, and clearly we're prepared.
Meanwhile, newly released video from New Yorker magazine journalist Luke Mogelson shows how unprepared the Capitol was for the January 6th siege. Rioters told police they were following President Trump.
We're outnumbered. There's a million of us out there, and we are listening to Trump. You're the boss.
We can't be disrespectful.
Don't disrespect.
They can steal an election when we can't sit in their chairs?
No!
Inside the Senate chamber, insurrectionists argued with each other, and retired Lieutenant Colonel Larry Brock used a military term for information operations.
It's an IO war. We can't lose the IO war.
We're better than that.
Hey, man.
But others took the space less seriously and cited senators who questioned the election.
I think Cruz would want us to do this, so
yeah, absolutely.
I think we're good.
I just want to let you guys know, this is like the sacredest place.
A lone police officer, severely outnumbered, eventually got them to leave, but made no arrests, despite the obvious, ominous threat.
It's only a matter of time. Justice is coming. All right,
come on. Overwhelmed 2 weeks ago when the military presence was non-existent, the city, military, and federal government now hope an unprecedented show of force keeps the Capitol secure.
And Nick joins me now. So, Nick, you've been talking to so many people today. Bottom line, how concerned is the military?
Yeah, Acting Defense Secretary Chris Miller released a statement saying there was no specific threat. But as we reported, the military is very concerned, according to the senior officials I'm talking to, in part because, again, they're not checking these soldiers' social media and because commanders don't really know these guardsmen that well. They just don't spend that much time with them. So to try and mitigate that, there has been additional training institute for the guards as they arrive into D.C. to try and train everyone to look out for insider threats. But Judy, we are talking about this as or even after guard have arrived in D.C. The independent analysts I talked to say it is simply too late in a comprehensive way to check whether there's any insider threats. In an ideal world, this would have done been done a long time ago in a much more comprehensive way.
And Nick, those independent experts, analysts you've been talking to, how good a job do they say the military has done searching for extremists in their ranks?
Yeah, so what the military says, it tries its best and it maintains an awareness of these threats, including right-wing extremists, and that on the active duty side, commanders spend a lot of time with their soldiers, and so they can keep an eye on them. But the independent analysts point out that the military is not a domestic intelligence agency. There have been lots of problems in the past, and frankly, there were veterans and people connected to the military who took part in the siege. And so earlier today, I talked to Heidi Beirich. She is the co-founder and chief strategy officer of the Global Project Against Hate and Extremism. She said the military is not doing well enough and that service members are targets.
Well, extremist groups are very keen on recruiting active duty soldiers and veterans into their ranks. They value the skills and the abilities that these people have learned while in the military. That goes for white supremacist groups, groups that perhaps want to engage in something like a race war. They want those skills in their ranks. And in the militia movement, the American militia movement, folks with a military background are probably the most prized members of the groups. You also have individuals who are involved in those groups before they join the military being encouraged by the extremist groups to get those skills.
So given those attempts, do you believe the military has taken the idea or the threat of extremists in its ranks seriously in the past?
Unfortunately, I don't. You know, in the military, there have been fits and starts in dealing with the issue of hate groups in particular, but the regulations always seem to come after the threat has shown itself. And one of the big issues we've had in recent years is that the military regulations are not up to the level where they need to be in a world in which people are radicalized online en masse, including troops, and in which extremist groups are recruiting from them. And, you know, folks in the military themselves know about this. The Military Times has done a series of polls that show between one-third and one-half of troops in the last 4 years have seen white nationalism in the ranks. So the military is not doing enough to root this problem out right now.
Beirich says that the military does a better job at kicking out gang members, Judy, than kicking out white supremacists.
So, Nick, what is it believed that the military could do to address these concerns?
Yeah, the answer to that is really fundamental, Judy, and it is the key question. And the experts say that it starts at the beginning. It needs to start with how the military recruits. But it also goes all the way to how the military defines the threat itself. So here again is Heidi Beirich.
There's quite a few things that could be done here. They need to tighten screening of recruits when they're coming into the military. Right now, the military doesn't even have a comprehensive tattoo database, which could show them when someone comes in from their tattoos that they've been involved in extremist groups. They need to monitor social media. They need to tighten the regulations to include a ban on involvement in paramilitary militia groups. That doesn't exist right now. And members of the different parts of the armed forces who worked in the investigative divisions didn't even among themselves agree on what they should be looking for. So there are a whole host of things that need to happen to fix this problem.
Beirich says the military can take this more seriously, Judy, and the Biden administration can actually take steps to make this a priority as well.